almost Christmas. Look at all those presents under the tree. I bet you're pretty excited for the gifts you're going to get, huh? I remember when I was a kid, I would write a loud list of my favorite things that I'd hoped to get. And I was so excited on Christmas morning when I'd come down, and there the presents were. I was hoping I'd get what I wanted. Well, you know, a long time ago, we're going to read in the Bible about the people in Israel who were waiting for something as well. And one night, God sent angels to declare some exciting news to the shepherds who were in a field. So let's listen to what happened. I'm going to read Luke 2, verses 8 through 21. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So can you imagine what they must have thought after hearing the news from a host of angels? Can you imagine as they entered into the stable where this little baby was and they found things just exactly like they had been told? Do you think that they realized that their deepest need was being met right before their eyes? What a night that must have been, huh? Let's go see what Mimi's done.
Well, thanks, Brad. You know, let me just start with that question here, and I need your help because you are all the ones who braved the potential ice, and so there's a fewer of us than normal here, but I need you to get involved because it's cold outside. So let me ask a question. You can raise your hands. You can just tell me. You know what I'm talking about. How many of you know who Kevin McAllister is? All right, so Yamila, thank you. If you don't know who Kevin McAllister is, maybe this picture on the screen will help you. This is Kevin McAllister. Macaulay Culkin played Kevin McAllister in the famous Home Alone movie. And if you don't know what the Home Alone movie is all about, first of all, how can you have Christmas without watching Home Alone, all right? But real quick, Home Alone is the story of Kevin McAllister, and Kevin grows up in this family, and we start the movie off with kind of seeing what life is like for Kevin, and it's not a good life for him, at least it doesn't appear to be. He gets picked on by his big brother, he gets ignored, nobody likes him, he's kind of the little one that everybody stomps on, and there's this moment at the very beginning of the movie where Kevin is having a conversation with his mom. He looks at her and he says, I wish you weren't even here, I wish I was all alone, right? And you, if you know the story of the movie, if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry at this point. I don't mind ruining it for you because it was made in like the early 90s. So, but here's what happens. In a rush, the next morning, the family gets up trying to make an airplane, and they forget Kevin. And so Kevin wakes up in his bed, and he's all alone, which you just think about how horrible that movie is. I mean, in reality, like SRS should be like just coming in to like save this child. But nonetheless, the whole movie is Kevin at home by himself, while his parents are trying to get back to him. And at first, if you know the story, I mean, like, he just has a blast, right? Like, it's a good time. Like, he loves eating whatever he wants to eat and does whatever he wants to do and watches whatever he wants to watch. And, like, you're just watching this kid play and have a good time. And you think, man, like, he thinks this is the best. But then some things change. And there's these two criminals that try to break into their house. And he's got to protect his home. And there's this moment in the movie towards the end where Kevin's desires have clearly changed. Like, you just see over the course of time, like, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And there's this time where he goes to actually visit Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. And I want us to watch the exchange with Santa Claus on Christmas Eve real quick. So watch this little clip. Well, maybe.
Yeah, if you make it quick, Santa's got a little get-together he's late for.
Okay. I know you're not the real Santa Claus.
What makes you say that? Just out of curiosity.
I'm old enough to know how it works.
All right.
But I also know that you work for him. I'd like you to give him a message.
Shoot.
I'm Kevin McAllister, 671 Lincoln Boulevard. Do you need the phone number?
No, that's all right.
Okay, this is extremely important. Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back. No toys, nothing but Peter, Kate, Buzz, Megan, Linny, and Jeff, and my aunt and my cousins. And if he has time, my Uncle Frank. Okay?
Okay. See what I can do.
Thanks.
Wait, hold on a second. My elf took the last of the candy canes home to her boyfriend.
That's okay.
No, don't be silly. Everybody sees Santa's gotta get something. Here, pull out your little paw there. There you go. Don't spoil your dinner.
I won't. Thanks.
What a great Santa Claus. Who doesn't want to go see that Santa Claus, right? You know, when we watch that clip, here's what's interesting about that story, and as you watch Kevin, is what we really see there in transition happen is that Kevin comes to the realization that what he wanted wasn't really the right thing to want. What he wanted really wasn't going to bring him what he hoped it would bring him at the end of the day. And so he comes to that recognition that, man, like, what was at one point what I thought was going to bring me joy, what was going to be my deepest desire, ended up not being my deepest desire. You know, as I watch this and I think through this season and I think about this text that we just read, you know, we think about what happened in that text, and there's this really interesting part at the end of that. You know, you've got these shepherds, and they're out in the fields, and they're doing their job, they're doing their work, and these angels appear out of nowhere, and they communicate this great news to these shepherds, and they go and see this baby. And then at the end, what we see in the text is simply this small statement, but it's such a powerful one, which is simply this. They went away back to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, what would cause the shepherds to glorify and praise God? Well, here's the thing, and this is ultimately what we all know to be true about Christmas, is that they had received something great, hadn't they? Like, that's the whole thing. That's the whole reason we do the whole gift thing, right? Because they had received something great. Now, they didn't maybe know what that thing was that they should have been looking for at that moment, but they received something great, and they felt it, they experienced it, and it caused them to glorify and to praise God. Were they looking for it? Were their desires even in the right place? And I think one of the questions we need to ask, and this is an important thing, and I don't even know that we'll get specifically to the answer to this, but each of us have a different one, is this. In this season, what is your deepest desire? What is your deepest desire? Now, think about the shepherds. What did they want? And we don't know specifically what they wanted. I mean, we could guess all kinds of different things. Maybe they wanted to go in where it was warm. Maybe they wanted to not be out in the fields with the sheep in the first place. Being a shepherd wasn't the best thing in the world of the day. Maybe they had some vague understanding of a hope of a Messiah or a Christ. But here's what I can guess. And what I can pretty be pretty sure of is they didn't wake up in the morning going, ooh, I can't wait for today because I hope today is the day that the angels burst the heavens open and sing this hallelujah, pointing me to the Messiah. Like, that's not what they wanted in that day. And we'll get to how impactful it is that that's actually what they ended up wanting at the end of the day, but that's not what they want. So what is your deepest desire? What is it that you, to make this season perfect for you? If you just want to be like, man, I just want the season to be perfect. What's that one thing that you want to happen? I hope it's not that your family disappears like Kevin. Like, that's bad, even though we all have an Uncle Frank, right? So I hope that's not the case, but what is it? Maybe it's that someone would be at your Christmas table for the first time in a long time. Maybe it's that you're going to get a call about a job that you've been hoping for. Maybe you're longing for that news that you're pregnant or that you find a spouse and you get engaged this season. Or I don't know, maybe you get the phone call that says that the scans are clear from the disease you've been fighting all year. I don't know, but what is it in your mind that would make all of this feel perfect? What if you received that thing in this season? Let me ask the question, what would it ultimately leave you with? And what if when you received it, like Kevin, you find out that maybe it wasn't a good desire in the first place? Or maybe it was a good desire, but maybe you were putting too much hope and too much weight upon that desire. See, that's the thing. We don't often think about that, do we? Like, we just let our desires go with us. I'll give you an illustration. I think it's one I've maybe shared here before, but nonetheless, I think it's perfect. How many of you have ever been to the Cracker Barrel? Okay, this is a few of you. So if you know, if you've ever been to the Cracker Barrel and you have kids, you know that is the parents' worst nightmare, the way that they have that store set up, because you go in to get your table, and while you're waiting for your table, you have to stand in a shop, like with all kinds of like knickknacks and candy and junk and toys and all kinds of stuff. And so like your kids are just wandering around, like starting to just drool over all the things that they see. Well, this happened to us a few years ago. We were at the Cracker Barrel and my son, Ethan, was running around Cracker Barrel and he saw the best thing ever. It was an electric guitar set. It came with a little amplifier and everything. And he called us over and was like, oh, ooh, I want to buy this with my money that I've saved up. And we're like, okay, well, let's look at it. And I go over and look at it, and I pick up the box, and it weighed like a pound and a half, which that's always a bad sign, right? Because you know what it's made out of. And you're thinking, ooh, this is not going to fulfill all the promises that it makes on the top of this box, right? And it should have been a little bit of a warning because it was like the band name was like Triple X, but nonetheless, he didn't catch that. Like, and so we're sitting here as parents going like, you know, maybe you shouldn't spend your money on this. Maybe it's not going to quite do what you hope it does. Nonetheless, he wanted to. And so we said, okay, we get home and I opened up the box and I began to put it together. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh no, this is not going to go well. But he was so excited. He wanted to give us that first concert. And so we sat down in his room and he started to play the guitar. And I, as a parent, like, I can just be honest, like, it broke my heart because I saw he recognized it. He saw it. He saw what that was, and he began to try to do everything he could to convince himself this was a good thing, this was a good toy, and it was going to be what he hoped it would be, and we all knew it wasn't. And when that realization finally comes, like, that's a hard moment. That's a hard moment as a parent to watch that happen because you realize, like, I thought this would give me the joy that I hoped for, and it didn't. We've all been there, haven't we? Maybe it wasn't with an electric guitar set, maybe it was something else. And that's the point, is that we all have a deep desire. We all have desires in our hearts. We all have these things that we think, man, if I just get that, like, that's gonna fix everything. But we can also look back and say that very few, if any of those things, ever produced what we hoped they would. And is it not true that most all of our desires, they promise ultimately that they're gonna bring us what? Joy. Some form of joy, some form of satisfaction. We all think that they will. But like Kevin, who believed his life would be so much better, he believed that things would be so great if he could just eat mac and cheese every day, right? And like so many of us, in his, even in that story, at first it feels good. At first it's fun. At first it feels like, yeah, this is it. This is going to be the thing. But at the end of the day, we're all left wanting. And like Kevin, we all end up maybe coming back and saying, like, I don't want anything else. I don't want Christmas. I don't want presents. I just want my family back. Like, my desires were in the wrong spot. My hopes were in the wrong spot. Like, we realize our mistake. And one of the great truths of this season that we need to look at, one of the first and most important thing that we need to recognize is this: we cannot trust our own desires, amen? Like, we can't. Like, we can't trust the things that come to us. Like, they always lead us to places that don't ultimately satisfy. Now listen, let's be clear, they don't always lead us to bad things, right? Like, let's just be honest, like, it's not always gonna lead you to heroin or some crazy drug or something like that, but it ultimately won't lead you to the joy that you're looking for. See, what needs to happen to us? What we find is that the source of our desires can't be us, but then if that's the case, where does the source come from? What I believe is true is that the right source of our desires should be God. You're not the best source. You're not the most trustworthy source. In fact, you should trust in the source that knows everything. So we find ourselves our desires shifting, don't we? Like the Kansas weather. Like today, it's icing. I looked at like the 10-day forecast. It's supposed to be 56 on like Thursday, right? Like they shift and they move. And we all get into this cycle, and we all understand the cycle. We see something. And so what happens is we have these desires inside of us, and the culture starts talking to us, and it says, man, if you just get this, if you run down this path, if you can accomplish this, then all will be well. And so I don't know what it is for you. You feel the weight of loneliness, and you feel in your heart, it says, oh, the solution must be a spouse. You feel like, oh, I'm struggling finances, and so the solution must be money, or on and on I could go with what that might be. And we feel all that weight, and we look for all those things, and at the end of the day, like, we're left with nothing, and we end up with a cycle. And so we see it, we have the desire, and then we pursue it, and then we end up with letdown, don't we? And so what do we do? Well, what's the next desire? Like, what's the next thing? Like, what is it that's going to fix it? And so, and instead of like looking to the right place, we go, oh, well, here's a new desire. And then we start the pursuit of that desire. And then we get that desire. And then we're let down. And then we find another one. And we pursue it. And then we're let down. And then we find another one. And we pursue it. And we let down. And we can live our entire lives in this mess. Can't we? Like, we've all felt it. We've all been there, we've all done it, and the fact of the matter is, what this story reminds us of is that there's only one person, there's only one being that knows what the right desire is, and it's not you, and it's not me, it's the Father. He's the only one. He knows because he made us that way. He built it into us. He knows it. He knew it with the shepherds. And that's why in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, that the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Do you hear what's happening here? The shepherds didn't know what to look for. They didn't know what the desire should be. Who points them there? God points them there. He declares it. He says, listen, like, this is where your joy should be. This is where the peace is coming. What you really need, what you really should be looking for is over here. And it's in the form of a baby in a manger. They didn't know. But he points them. They didn't even know what desire they should have, what desire they shouldn't have. But God points us in the right space. And here's the beauty of it is this. This is what we know to be true, scripturally speaking, is that the only thing that can fill our joy is the presence of the King. David says this in Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Not complete or not incomplete joy, not partial joy. It's not in your presence plus if I get an iPhone for Christmas. It's in your presence is the fullness, the completeness, the wholeness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So listen, some of us in this room, you've experienced that. Like, you've met Christ, you've experienced Jesus, and you've begun to feel like the joy that brings, just that comes just in his presence. Like, I've known people this way. I've known people that are like that, where they just their whole world is destroyed because they've recognized that the only real joy that sustains is the presence of Jesus. Karen's granddad was one of those people. I met James Cook when we first got engaged and got to spend time getting to know James, and he was a great guy. He was a pastor, served the Lord for years, served on the mission field in South Africa, great guy. And here's what I got to know about James before he passed away. He wanted more than anything else to be in the presence of the Father. That was where his greatest joy was. He loved painting. He loved his family. He loved his grandkids. He loved doing things around the house. But what he loved most of all, where the fullness of his joy was in the Lord. And you know where we saw it the most? Was when he got put into hospice care. And as his life was fading away, you could see in the life of this man the longing and the joy to be at home. To see Jesus face to face for the first time. Like, that's what this is about. That's what Christmas is about. That's what it all is about. God has come to be with us. He has come to be present with us. My fear is that just another Christmas is going to go by, and it's going to be another missed opportunity for countless people to actually find the presence of Jesus, to actually find the presence of God. Because it's in his presence there's fullness of joy, and only in his presence. It's the only desire that matters, amen? It's the only pursuit that matters, amen? Everything else leaves us let down. And here's what I truly believe. What I truly believe is that if you truly experience the beauty of what this season is about, that Christ has come, Emmanuel, to be God with us, it will change your life forever. But here's another question for us all. Have you actually experienced Jesus? And how do you know? Well, I don't feel like I desire him. I don't know if I desire him. What does that look like? Have I actually experienced Jesus? I'm going to give you an analogy, something I think it'll help you understand what actually happens to us when we come face to face with Jesus. In fact, what I actually think happened to the shepherds. What would have happened if I told you that right before this service, I was out in the lobby and I was talking to somebody, and they came rushing in from outside and they were breathing hard, and they go, "Oh man, I'm so glad I made it on time. Like, I thought I was gonna be late." And I was like, "Oh, well, what happened? Tell me a little bit about what took place." And they said, "Well, actually, we left our house. Everything was great. We're actually gonna be here early so we can make it to the Gospel Life Encounter classes. And what happened is my tire blew out. And so on the side, I had to pull over on the side of the road on K96, and I was changing the tire. And on accident, I lost one of the lug nuts, and it flew off into the highway. And so I went out into the highway to get it, and right as I picked it up, I looked up, and there was a semi, and it hit me." Like, that doesn't seem a little strange, right? Like, what would happen if someone said that to you? You'd say, "Well, okay, that's a great story, and either you're hallucinating or you're lying." Why? Because nobody comes into contact with a semi truck moving 60 miles an hour down the road and remains unchanged. Jesus is a lot more impactful than a semi truck. Like, that's the reality of it. God of the universe is way more impactful than a semi truck. And the fact of the matter is, if we come to experience him, like, we're going to walk away going, "Praise God. Glory to God in the highest," because, like, what I had not known, what I did not know, I've now seen with my eyes. I've now engaged with my life. I've now experienced in my life. He's so much more impactful than a semi-truck. Have you seen that kind of impact where you've come face to face with God and you walk away like the shepherds praising him? Notice that I didn't ask, do you know about him? Have you experienced knowledge about him? Notice I didn't ask if you know Bible stories. Notice I didn't ask if you come to church once a year or every week. That's irrelevant. It makes no difference. I didn't ask how many worship songs you know. I didn't ask how good of a person you are. I asked, have you come face to face with the personal Jesus Christ? As much as the truth of God is in the Word of God, you can know every story in the Bible and not know him. You know how I know? Because I was one of them. I grew up in that. Like, I knew every story in the Bible, but I didn't know him. And there's countless people that have not experienced Jesus. And they come to church, they think, well, that's all that matters. And you say, here, well, how do I know? What's the thing? And here's one of the things we need to be aware of and the things we need to think about. I want you to think about what you desire, the things you love in your life, the things you desire more than anything else. I don't know what it is for you. Is it to be married? Is it to have children? Is it a narcotic? Is it an alcoholic beverage? Is it entertainment? Is it money? I don't know what it is. I don't know what practical thing it is that you're thinking about. But here's my question. Would you give it up for the presence of Jesus? Isn't that a big question? And are we all not at some level pressed with that question? If before Christ, even in our walk with Jesus Christ, do we not struggle at times to start seeing other desires and go, ooh, I like Jesus, but what about that? And this is a huge question. It's one I actually have put on the screen for you to take home because it's such an important one. If you had to lose that thing, whatever that thing is in your life right now to gain Jesus, would you still walk away giving glory and praise for what you had seen? Would you? How do you know? Say, well, I want to. And here's the thing, it's hard to give a checklist because there isn't one. Do you know how you know? Is when you come into contact with him. See, what happens for us is so often is we think that I have to have the desire, and the desire is the cause for my pursuit of Jesus. It's exactly the opposite. Your desire is the effect of an interaction with Jesus. Let me give you an example. I told you a minute ago that I was a kid who grew up in the church. I did. I grew up knowing all the stories. Like I knew about Joseph. I knew about Moses. I knew about Jesus and the disciples. And I knew about Revelation. I knew about the kingdom to come. I knew all the stories, but I hadn't met Christ yet. And there was a moment in my life, and if you've been in the church, you've heard my testimony, but there was this time where I had this opportunity to go to another country, and I was sitting on the beach in the Dominican Republic, and I remember thinking to myself as I was sitting out there looking at a beautiful sunset saying, none of this is filling what I need. Like I'm not feeling the joy. I'm not feeling the fullness of joy that I know is supposed to be present in the scriptures, and I know everything I need to know in my head. I don't feel that. Where is it at? Like, Jesus. And it was literally me crying out and going, go, Lord, like, just make yourself known to me. And it was in that moment that the presence of the Lord was there. And I tasted it, and I saw it, not physically. It's just allegory, right? And it changed me forever. Because what I found was what I experienced in that moment was the greatest joy that I had never felt anywhere else, and that became my pursuit. Now, here's the deal. Is it with me every moment of every day? No. That'd be a lie to say that. Like, it's a struggle at times. I'm just like everybody else. We all are. Like, we find those moments, and we experience the joy of the Lord and the presence of the joy of the Lord, and then other desires start to creep in, don't they? Like, our flesh starts to get in the way, and we start to think about other things as better than him. Like, that's the reality of all of our lives and all of our walks with the Lord. I genuinely believe that. But I also know this, and here's the thing. Some of you may say, well, it was just the beach that gave you that experience. Well, here's what I have learned. Have I experienced the presence of the fullness of joy in the beauty of God's creation? Yes. But I've also experienced it in some of the ugliest, hardest parts of this world. I've experienced the joy and the fullness of God's joy in his presence in the greatest of times. And I've also experienced in some of the hardest of times. That's the thing. It's not dependent upon the sunrise or the sunset. It's dependent upon who he is. And as I pursue it more and more and more, I get to experience those moments more and more and more. And he is the salve to my soul and to my life. And he can be and should be for every single one of us in this space, amen? He is the good news. He is the good news. As I think about moving towards closing this time, here's what I want us to understand as people in this room. I know what the world would tell you And the world is constantly telling you all kinds of different things. And Sean alluded to in the world, we are tied earlier. We are tied to this world. We feel the pullings all the time. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what comes in this season. If your joy isn't anchored to what happened in that manger, it will leave you. And you will find yourself let down. At some point, you will find yourself let down. And I know you've heard me say this before if you've been in this room, and yet don't we all need to be reminded of it all the time? Because even as believers, we experience those moments, and then like I said a minute ago, over time, we lose the joy of the presence of the Lord. We lose the joy of the presence of the Lord. And if you want to see him, if you want to experience him, if you want your desires to change, all you have to do is look into the manger. He's the gift. He's the gift. Emmanuel, God with us. And we sang a song a few minutes ago that talked about from the cradle to the cross. And we might think, well, what does that even mean? Well, here's the thing, like, he came to be present with us, and I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be one of his disciples and walk in the presence of the living God in Jesus Christ. But what's amazing is that he then also went to the cross. And in going to the cross, he died for us so that we might be reconciled back to the Father. And he gave us the Spirit of God to live in us, to be present in us, to be with us at all times. Like, this is our hope. This is the gospel. The cradle means nothing without the cross. And neither mean anything without the resurrection. And they all happened. Amen? We have been brought back. We have been brought back to the presence of God. And so as we even come to this time of communion and we come to this moment which focuses not just upon the cradle but also the cross, I would simply ask you a couple of questions. And I would ask you to respond this morning, because whenever we hear these things and we see these things, the temptation is just to go back out and try not to slip on the ice as we get to our cars. But we need to take them and go, okay, how does this affect my life? How does this affect the way that I see the world? How does this affect my home? And my desire is that every one of you, when you go into your houses today and you look at your tree and you look at the gifts and you see your family and you watch the game and you eat good food in this season, as you experience those fun songs, that every single one of them is a reminder, this isn't my joy. He is. These only point to my joy. That's all they do. If your joy is wrapped up in that stuff, December 26th is coming. Like, it's coming, and you're gonna be left waiting for next year. And we don't have to. We can walk in the presence of the Father 365 days of the year and experience, like David has called us to, the fullness of joy. And how do we do that? So here's where I would call us to respond. If you have found that in him there is fullness of joy, and you experience that and you know that, even maybe in this moment right now, like you're going like, I just am so grateful for all that Jesus is and all that he's done. Like, here's my challenge to you, my encouragement to you, lean into him. Right? Just lean hard into him. So instead of listening to the world say, ooh, go have fun, watch it, you can continue to lean into him and into his presence. And if you're in this room this morning and you have experienced that fullness of joy before, or maybe it's been in spurts here and there, or maybe it's been a moment at this point and you know you can have it, but you're struggling with it right now, I would ask you to examine yourself and ask this question. What other desires have crept into your life that have taken over in your pursuits? This isn't just something we receive one time. This is a lifetime pursuit of constant growth and deeper knowledge of the presence of Jesus Christ. And so we should never let another pursuit come in its path. We should never let another pursuit take away our attention. But we all do. And so if you're in this room this morning, you're struggling with that, I would simply ask you, examine your heart, lay lay it before the king, lay it before the Lord and say, I'm not going to pursue this anymore. I'm going to pursue you and the presence of you, because in you and you alone is the fullness of joy. And brothers and sisters, again, it's not all bad stuff. It can be good things. But nothing should take over. Nothing should be more important than our pursuit of his presence. And finally, I would say to those in this room that have never experienced him in that way, some of you have gone to church for years. Some of you have read the Bible for years. Some of you have walked into space. You don't know anything about Jesus. You're just here because it's Christmas time or someone invited you to be here. And you're just like, man, what's all this about? It doesn't matter. The only place you'll find the fullness of joy is in him. And so here's what I would call you to respond to this morning, is to hear him say, come, place your faith in me. Because he came to reconcile you to him and to the Father. And we're getting ready to celebrate the cross, which was that reconciling work. And I would encourage you to simply ask this question, like, have you ever found the fullness of joy anywhere else? And then hear the angels say, a child has been born. There's good news, and you have a choice. Do you go and look into the manger, or do you stay in the field? And what I'm telling you, and as everybody else who's ever experienced it would tell you, is that if you go and you look into the manger, if you look into the face of Christ, you will find him. You will find him, because he's not trying to hide. And so I would encourage you this morning to make that decision. So what I'd ask you to do is go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes and then just think for a moment about these things. Where are you in regards to your deepest desires? What if you get what you really want? Is it really what you want? And if you found the fullness of joy in the presence of Jesus? We come now to this time of communion, and as we do, the desire is that you would come to this place and you would come to this table and you would take of the bread, which is representative of the body that was broken for us all, and the blood that was spilled for us, that we might be reconciled to him, that we might have the promise sealed for us, that we can be a part of the family of God because of the work of Jesus. And that you would come and seek to know him and to be known by him and to revel in his presence. Father, I want to pray for us this morning, for all of us, because we live in a world that is constantly trying to call us to pursue other things. It always has and it always will. We live in bodies that constantly have desires that are not directed towards you. And while we live on them, we always will and we always have. But Father, we declare this morning the way the angels declared so many years ago, there is only one peace, there is only one source of joy, there is only one good news, and it is in your Son, Jesus. And Father, we declare this morning the truth of your word that says that there is a fullness of joy in your presence and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Father, for your people, as we come to this time, remind us of that. For those who are not in your family, would you draw them to yourself? Father, would you help them to desire you and to find joy in you? Father, as we come, we also bring our offerings, a time to declare that our joy is in you, not in this world. Bless those offerings. May we use them to your glory and for your kingdom. Pray these things in your name. Amen.